as we grapple with an important issue. Tonight's topic, the issue of hunting. Just a word about, I was talking to Tom last night about hunting up here. The high hunt is what begins today. It's a bucks only season, 3 points or better. And that season is open until the 25th of September. So it's open now for 10 days. And there already have been hunters arriving at Holden. Then there's another season, the regular season that opens in mid-October. Also a bucks only season around here. And so we'll expect to see hunters at Holden again then as well. And hunting is allowed in the wilderness area. I'm going to be moderating tonight, which simply means that I'll like call on you or if you raise your hand. But if we're small enough, we can just kind of be a little more informal about that. And we do want to get a chance to for different people's opinions to be heard without particularly judging each other or jumping on each other. I feel that I'm really qualified to moderate this forum. Here's my big qualification, because I've had two ex-boyfriends who have been hunters. So that's my claim to expertise in this area. How's that? And no, it is a topic of great interest, especially as we struggle over sort of multiple use of the wilderness area issues, because it's sometimes difficult to be a hiker and encounter hunters, and we want to be as open as possible with that. So we're going to start with Tom Smith.
Okay, I'm a hunter. I've been hunting up here in this area for 7 or 8 years. I've also been on staff up here for quite a while. I enjoy hunting, and occasionally I kill food. I kill an animal for food. That's not the focus of my hunting is the killing of an animal, because my success rate isn't that high. But I have enjoyed being out every bit as much. I guess the killing of the animal is just a part of the hunting experience. And I hunt because it's an option to either raise my own beef or whatever for killing, for food, and shopping at a supermarket. That's an option that's still available, and I just choose to do it. It's kind of interesting, when I was making these little notes here, I could probably argue either way. Well, I jotted down here, I think that hunters are like people in traffic. The ones that really stand out in your mind are the idiots. I said the hunters, in a way, are kind of like the people in traffic. But the ones that really stick in your mind are the idiots. And the majority of the people out there are good drivers, and you don't pay much attention to them. And I guess the counterpoint would be, well, there's no such thing as a good hunter anyway. But that's what I'm saying, is that most of the people, you encounter them, hunting conjures up more in your mind, I think, than experiences out in the woods. I think very few people have actually been there to see hunters make a kill or whatever. You usually see them coming or going, or in a camp. And I think that, I do believe very much that the ones that stand out are the ones that are less than optimal hunters. The words hunter, I'm sure it draws pictures in our minds. And some of the words I can think of up here that I've heard in the past have been that they are intruders, that they come into an area that up here we are enjoying. They come up here, and I'm sounding like I'm arguing against it already. this is what I heard. The macho image, the killers, they're up here, they're intruders, and this isn't their home. But then on the other hand, when I think of anti-hunters, when I hear that word, I think of people who are ignorant and hypocrites, because they may be opposed to killing animals. I mean, there's various arguments. I'm sure we'll hear some of those tonight, pro and con. In defense of myself and hunting, I believe, and I've accepted the fact that death is a part of our lives, and things have died to support my life, whether that's plants, fish, food, everything I've grown up on. There is death involved, and I recognize that, I embrace that, and in hunting and killing, I take in the life of something created. I have a closer touch with what it means, and has placed a greater responsibility upon me to be there and be a part of that.
Okay. Say, can't you say one more thing? Okay. No, you don't really. Barry Shelley has been part of a number of discussions on this whole issue of hunting in Holden Village and was around for hunting season last year and will talk about his perspective on it.
Okay. First of all, I do think it's possible to have good hunters. I wouldn't say there's no such thing as a good hunter. Let me just start by saying that I did at one time hunt. And when I was, my father hunts, still does, and that's a really big part of his recreation, as a matter of fact, is hunting. When I was about the seventh grade, I started hunting with my father. I'm really close to my father. I had my own shotgun, and I started hunting, and that was sort of seemed the thing to do. And I loved getting up early with my father and driving somewhere to hunt and spending the whole day with him. That was a major time that we spent together. About ninth or tenth grade, I think it was about tenth grade, so I'd been hunting for about 2 or 3 years. And I guess I want to say I was pretty good at it. So I didn't give up hunting because I wasn't successful. I was actually pretty good at hunting at that age. And a number of experiences, but I can remember one experience in particular where I shot a squirrel running across a branch and didn't lead it exactly right and hit it in the back legs, and so it didn't kill it. It fell to the ground and it was still sort of crawling on its front feet, and I was immediately sort of gonna shoot it again to kill it, and a guy that was happened to be hunting with us at the time pushed the barrel of my gun up into the air and said, "Oh, don't waste another shell," picked up the squirrel by the tail and beat its head against the tree. And I just vividly remember that squirrel sort of squeaking until it, for probably 5 minutes or so, or several minutes, until it died. Now I know that all hunters wouldn't do that, and I don't want to say that all hunters would. But basically it was after that that I think I probably hunted one or two more times, and after that, didn't even realize, I think, until later why I stopped. And I think my father, much to his credit, never pressured me to come with him. I think he was disappointed, and we did find some other ways to spend time together, but nothing was quite the same. We didn't go hiking together, except, I mean, he didn't really go out indoors except to go hunting. So that was a loss. So I just want to say that as a preface, and also to say that I'm not a vegetarian. I know a lot of hunters would say, well, if you eat meat, or you wear leather shoes, and you should be willing to take responsibility to kill for that. And I guess I want to address that. I don't eat very much meat, and I don't eat red meat, but I do eat meat. So I can't claim that as an argument in this particular case. My main objection to hunting is in the context of it being a sport. And I think that that is the way that we have to look at it in our culture, that hunting primarily in our culture is a sport. We talk about hunters as sportsmen, and there are mostly men, or sports women occasionally. We go to sports shops to buy guns and ammunition and the equipment that we use for hunting. And there's sort of our whole culture around hunting. And it's that identity with it as a sport that I think we really need to look at. Let me just say a little bit more about that. I think hunters often, the justification for hunting is often, well, it's for food, or it's necessary for game control, or what I've just said, well, if you eat meat or wear leather, then you should be willing to take responsibility for that. And I actually agree with that. In a way, I mean, I think that if we're just going to use that as a cop-out to say, well, you shouldn't hunt because it's killing, but I'm still going to eat meat, I'm going to let somebody else kill for me, then, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. other arguments I've heard, well, the money for licenses go, for conservation. Well, those may be all occasionally reasons for hunting, but I think somebody would be hard-pressed to argue here that in the United States, the main reason that somebody hunts is for food or for game control. That might be a reason cited, but the main reason is a sport. Tom said from the beginning the main reason was not for food. And so I think those are secondary reasons. And I think that it's that motivation. Essentially, sport to me indicates that somebody is then hunting for enjoyment. There's a actual sort of game involved. There's a joy in the process of hunting itself. And that's what disturbs me about it. If someone is truly hunting for food, for survival, I would really not have too much problem with that. I can go back to the Native Americans and their attitude towards hunting. Certainly there was a whole sort of rite of passage in hunting for the males and that sort of thing within the Indian culture as well. But there was a point in which, for a lot of Indians, they would literally pray either before or over the animal as in the hunting process, is almost an apology for having to take that animal's life. But it was recognized as part of the natural process to be able to feed their family, was to kill, but it was for food, and it was seen as the interconnectedness of nature, and the animals were all part of that, and there was a sense of the sacredness of the animals, and I think some hunters would still see that way. I think probably Tom would too. But that was a very different reason for hunting. I mean, we can talk about how appalled the Indians were when the white men came in and just shot buffalo, primarily for the hides, when they said, we never kill more than what we eat. So again, if somebody's going to say that if they're really hunting for food and for survival, that's a different category. But the motivation for hunting, I think, is part of an ethical question. Motivation is part of the ethics. And so, what does it mean then to say it's a sport? Let me just add, we even add, some people say, well, I really am I really take this seriously, and the ethics of hunting seriously, so I only hunt with a bow and arrow, or I only hunt with a muzzle loader, because that makes it more of a sport, it gives the animal more of a chance. Well, that to me just reinforces the idea that it's a sport, that it's sort of this setting up a challenge between animals and humans. What that means to me is that if we make hunting a sport, is that we are really setting up an activity in which the basis for enjoyment is stalking and killing something that is alive. And that, to me, is a very, essentially becomes, it is the whole process, and I realize it's not just the act of killing, but the killing is an integral part of a process that is supposed to be enjoyable, that's supposed to be a sport. It means that we essentially teach primarily boys, it's a really sort of whole rite of passage. I really felt that when I was seventh grade. There's a real rite of passage that for me to become a man, I needed to learn how to hunt. And that meant that I needed to have the guts to kill something. That I needed to prove that by being willing to kill. That I needed to sort of overcome my emotionalism, overcome my squeamishness by being willing to kill. And I think that in the long run, even though there are some very sensitive and aware hunters, I realize that, but I cannot help but think that in the long run, the activity of promoting a sport that involves killing has a perverse effect on us, both as a culture and also as individuals. And by that I mean that I don't think you can completely separate out what you do in hunting with what you do in the rest of your life. I think that there's a certain kind of numbness that can come from that, a certain kind of sensitivity or lack of sensitivity that can come when we allow ourselves or even encourage men especially to engage in a sport, again, the enjoyment of killing. A couple other quick things would be that I think that it really does promote a, what I would see is a rather skewed relationship to creation. A relationship to creation which is one of real dominance, of dominating, not one which was stewardship, of nurture, of interdependence, in the way that we do it. Now again, I think it's possible for some hunters to do that, especially if it really is a matter of food, then I think there is that sense of interdependence. But in our culture, that does not happen. So I'm particularly interested in how we can create new rites of passage that promote other kinds of qualities and not qualities that we promote in terms of that kind of dominance, of power, that really involve killing, that I think is unnecessary and again is for the reasons of enjoyment. I think at Holden, what happens here is those of us who live here for long periods of time really do feel like hunters violate the natural community when they come in here, because we are used to having deer running in and out of here. And I think there's a much more sense of that interdependence and that community of nature, which then hunting seems to violate. And I think that's why it becomes more of an issue here than it does in some other places. The final thing I'll just say is that for those of you who saw the Deer Hunter, a movie that's now probably 15 years old, but you may remember that the movie starts out with a real sort of group of buddies, male men who go from Pennsylvania out to go hunting, and there's one who's a particularly good hunter and does kill a deer, and then the rest of the movie is about Vietnam. It ends when he comes back and goes back to the same place, has a buck in the sights of his gun, and can't kill it. And for me, there's a sense in which his whole experience of destruction and violence in Vietnam it's had the opposite effect of what I think hunting can have, it's the other direction. His experience has finally sort of broken through the numbness so much for him that he can no longer kill, and that also applies to animals. I think the opposite can happen if we start with killing as an enjoyment, as a sport, that we can also become numb. So I will probably talk more than I should have.
Okay, now we want to hear from you.
Well, I'd like to say a few things on what he commented on there, started off from what his Indian culture was. He said that the Indian culture killed only what they ate. This was true to a point. They also had massive slaughters of buffalo, which they would take maybe an Indian village or two Indian village and run several thousand off a cliff. And there's no way they could consume meat. So there was a total waste of slaughter. And another area that he was commenting on is it hard to kill a deer, or is it worse to kill a deer by a hunter, or is it worse to starve to death by the thousand? The cars, there's more deer and antelope killed by automobiles in a 3-month period through the summer of the spring and fall, and the whole hunting season takes out. Just in Wyoming last year, in a 500-mile area, approximately 100,000 antelope starved to death. 2,500 of them were hit on the highway, massacred by cars. Elk and deer on the same highway were massacred. The rabbits looked like polka dots on the highway. So the hunters didn't, this was after hunting season, the hunters didn't even take a portion of what was winter killed and automobile killed. As far as here in Holden, yeah, it's a paradise. So is the whole world. Hunting is a sport. And you say that you hunt for meat. I like the taste of game. If it's fixed right, cared right. We could raise them like cattle. We could have them walk around in manure and urine and mud up to their bellies, and then what's the ultimate deal? Take them to the feedlot and slaughter. We could raise deer the same way. As far as hunting, yeah, there's the sound shotters and the half-mile shooters. There's the ones that, you know, using the wrong ammunition for the wrong, what they're hunting for. So you can, like you say, you can pro and con hunting. But there's, within the 1,500 mile run that we came from Colorado to here, with that bus that I drove up here, I couldn't have hauled all the dead deer laying along the highway. There's no way. A semi-truck couldn't haul it. That was in 1,500 miles. So deer is, the only difference between these deer here at Holden, and if they was down on the highway, on Highway 2 or 95 or whatever runs in here, the only difference is their chance of survival is greater because of the automobile. But turn around in the second fact, people harm more deer by feeding them grain, putting out salt licks,
sweets,
and this sort of thing. Well, is like you take domestic cattle. If you haul feed to those cattle, there can be hay in the back pasture, but they're going to stand by the front gate where you come through with the load of hay and wait for you to come through. So eventually, you can take and feed a deer. If you don't, if they don't get browsing with it, you can feed them alfalfa and they'll starve to death.
Okay.
So this is where people intervene in deer or elk. Elk will survive on hay, but a deer will not.
Okay, thanks. Barry wants to respond to that? Okay.
Well, I just,
we do want to hear from some of the rest of you too.
No, just very briefly, I don't disagree with what you're saying. My point though is that there is a difference between a deer getting hit by a car, and there's a difference in the act of what happens when that deer dies.
Yeah, one gets ate and one lays on the road and rots.
No, I'm trying to say that my concern is not only for the deer, my concern is what happens to us. My concern is what happens to people who promote a culture of killing for enjoyment. That's all I'll say. That's my main point. I think there are a lot of concerns about game control and how we have forced imbalances and that sort of thing. But that to me does not justify. I mean, you can go talk about, I agree with you that to feed deer the sweets and all, that's not good for them. That doesn't have anything to do with what I'm saying. I'm talking about
the issue of sport.
The issue of sport, or the hunting that becomes a sport in this culture.
Okay. Okay.
Aren't you looking at the wrong thing? Or don't you look at the game as a crop to be harvested? Like our DNR decides how many they have to, that's the habitat to hold, and they'll get a license to kill off the excess.
No, I don't think it's a harvest. I don't think that's the way most hunters react.
I think most hunters, at least in Minnesota, do. Right now, we have a Canadian geese season within the Twin Cities.
But the motivation for people individually to go to hunt is not, for most part, some altruistic notion of harvesting game and protecting the environment and balance in that. I think that's a secondary part of it. The motivation for the individual hunter primarily is one of the sport and the sort of game of hunting. That is the motivation.
I don't believe you. Kind of back to what he said. You like to taste the game, and once or twice a year you get a chance to do it. It isn't a sport, I don't believe.
Does anybody want to address that question?
I don't think your generalization has much validity, particularly with the rites of passage. You know, every young man is supposed to play football if he's going to end up being a good, strong boy and a man. Neither of our boys played football. They didn't want to. And I didn't encourage them to. And I didn't either. And I think they're just as much men as anybody else. So I don't think there's really a lot of validity to a generalization that you're passing on to the general public about your own feelings. Now, that might be true with some people, but I've hunted for many years. My father didn't hunt. And I think I have some pretty tender, gentle feelings toward people, and I abhor killing of a human being. So I can't make that transference which you make. But I respect your right to make that for you. But I don't think you can lay that generalization on all hunters. Now, let's leave the psychology alone, and I want to go to the biological aspect, because I do have 2 degrees in biology. Are you familiar with the Kaibab experiment in northern Arizona?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Its grand idea was that we would stop all hunting in this area, and the deer would return to their natural population. We would have a wonderful resource for people to see who were visiting there in the northern rim of the Grand Canyon. It was an ecological disaster. An ecological disaster because the herd was not managed. Now, civilization has moved deer from where they never were before. This is not the natural habitat of the mule deer. The mule deer normally lived in the transition zone, low foothills, scrub brush, sagebrush, willows, etc. They did not live up here in the mountains. They have moved to the mountains because of civilization, because we have drastically changed the environment of animals. We can no longer live in an area where we nostalgically sing home on the range. It is a different range than we knew in the 1800s. And the animals that we have left must be managed if we're going to be able to keep them from our children and not wipe them out with disease, starvation, etc. So while I don't know whether you agree with me or disagree on that, but the herds do have to be managed. There's only a certain amount of food out there because we've moved them out. And if we don't manage them, we're going to lose them as we have some species of animals. So I would disagree with you on your generalization. It may be something that happened to you, but I don't think it happens to everybody. I look at hunting as a challenge, and yes, as a sport, and I have hunted antelope and deer, geese, ducks, and I like to fish. But I really don't see that as making me into something that is going to enjoy and transferring that to killing. I think you're wrong.
Okay, Chris?
I'm a bit confused because I didn't see really very... Are you saying that he's trying to transfer it to killing humans? Because killing is a word.
No, I think what he's saying is that this builds up, or perhaps I shouldn't say what you're saying, you should say it.
Well, I like the interpretation.
My interpretation is that if we enjoy a hunt, if we enjoy killing an animal, that perhaps then that can be transferred, and somehow that makes us rather calloused. And I don't believe that.
Well, if I can just say, I think one thing, Ari, what Barry is saying...
Can I say what I'm saying?
No. I think your solution's here.
He's saying that the main
issue is the whole question of motivation, and that these other things like management of the herd, the food, liking the taste of meat, are secondary issues. And I don't know that, I mean, do people agree that that's the way it should be set up? Or, I mean, is that correct? That way?
It seems more or less. But
it seems the issue here is more of sport than killing.
But the sport involves killing. That's exactly, see, what I'm trying to say is that, see, I've already said when I first started that I think game control is a real, I think that's
very... If we don't hunt, how do we control it?
Okay, what I'm trying to say is that there's a difference between managing herds out of that kind of game management. And I understand exactly what you're saying, that we have already forced the natural habitat into pressures that are not natural, and so there have to be unnatural ways of dealing with those balances. I understand that. I'm not trying to say that every person who hunts is a callous person. I am trying to say, and I'm also not trying to say that every person in this country goes through those same rites of passage. But I will still claim that there is a generalization and there is a general way in which we as a culture promote certain kinds of rites of passage. And hunting is one of them. I mean, I did all these things you're talking about. I played football. I was a real jock in high school. I mean, I've been the red-blooded all-American boy.
You don't have to apologize for that.
And so I'm not trying to say that everybody who hunts, again, I mean, my father hunts, and I think my father is a very tender and sensitive man in some ways, but I do believe that there is something, and I'll use the word perverse. I mean, that's a pretty strong word, and I don't mean that everyone who hunts there is perverse, but I think there is something perverse about getting enjoyment out of killing an animal.
I want to make a quick point. Okay.
Go ahead.
Is there anybody out there that supports me?
Barry, I think you're making an assumption that the enjoyment comes from the killing itself. And I think that's an incorrect assumption. I was up hiking in the Central Oregon Cascades two weekends ago, and there was a high hunt going on. I didn't expect it. It was the last thing I expected up there backpacking. Ran across a guy, and we were talking about it, and he said, I've been up here for 5 years and I've never shot a deer. He said, the reason I come up here is to walk around the woods.
Well, that's not hunting then.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Just like today, we've seen.
You're defining hunting as the act of killing, okay? I think these guys define hunting as the act of being in the outdoors, a portion of which is perhaps the taking of a deer.
Can I go on with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, then the response to that would be, well, why don't hunters just go out and hike?
Yeah.
When you're hunting, it's totally different than hiking, because I do both, right? Hunting, you might not have a destination. The amount of time it takes you to go through the woods might be totally dependent on what you hear, what you see. When you're out there, you'll see things that you won't see when you're hiking down a trail. Because generally, when you're going down a trail, you got a destination. You're just moving down the trail, and you might look at the peaks around you. When you're hunting, half the time you're sitting there motionless. You see little birds flying around. You see all sorts of little things you don't see when you're hiking. It's a different experience that way. I've been up here hunting since, I was up here in '78. Okay. So far in this area, I've gotten a few rabbits and grouse. I've been deer hunting and bear hunting for the past 4 or 5 years. I've had fantastic hunts, and I would call them hunts, and without getting any of those animals. And it's because I'm out.
Mike, can you just kind of kick it? It just needs somebody to hit it or kick it. Thanks.
Barry, the enjoyment of the hunting is being out there and seeing things you wouldn't normally see out there, because you are acting, you are focusing so much more attention on what you hear, sometimes even what you smell. You think differently when you're out there hunting. Well, you know that you're hunting,
yeah,
right?
I understand exactly what you're saying. Okay, but my response would then be, take a camera, why are you carrying around a weapon?
Well, ultimately,
I mean, understand that the enjoyment is in more than just the act of killing, but why does everything have to lead up to the act of killing? There's no reason to carry a gun around if that's the reason you're out there.
Okay, no, that's part of it. But I could say, I had a great hunt. Did you get anything? No, but I had a fantastic time. Well, why didn't you just take a camera? Well, because if there was something out there that I believe was basically my encountering it happened, and it happened to be that way, well, then I would definitely come home with a dinner or two. And that is also part of it.
So isn't the excitement of that hunt the anticipation of finding something that you could kill? Or that you could...
The enjoyment of the hunt being the anticipation of...
Well, the... okay, you come back and it was a great hunt, but what made it great was that you anticipated, you had this excitement of anticipation of finding...
But then, if that was it, though, then because I didn't find anything, then it wouldn't have been that great of a hunt, I would think. Right? I mean, if going out there to kill the animal is your focus, then if you don't kill the animal, then you come away and you say, well, yeah, I didn't have a great time at all. Or I might have had fun, but it was a bad hunt because I didn't connect with an animal.
Okay, how about some of the rest of you? Are you going to follow that up with?
Well, I walk the trail as the same way I hunt.
You must really enjoy hiking then.
Because today, I mean, I've been up the trails right now, and there's deer laying along the road, and the average person won't see it. They'll walk right by them. Some of the deer that's right here in Olden Village, they'll walk by and not see it. Walking up the trail today spotted a goat. 99% of the people that walked up the same path would not have seen it. Because I walk my trail the same as I hunt. And I take my camera today, maybe next day I'll take my gun. But when you say that a hunter doesn't have feelings for an animal is a bad statement.
I never made that statement.
Because you're saying that we're killing them, so that we have no inner feelings for that animal we're shooting, or we're having a...
I don't think he's saying that. That's not what he's saying.
I honestly feel like that nobody is, very few people are addressing what I'm trying to say. And that everyone is doing exactly what I often hear in discussions on hunting, which is that people try to justify it without addressing the issue that the end result involves killing the animal. And that did not make a statement that you didn't have any feelings for animals. I tried to be very careful all along the way to say...
Okay. What is wrong if it is killing an animal?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Hey, it can almost be time for this. Well, I was maybe expecting somebody to say it's wrong to kill, and that's unnatural. Well,
so
you've
got
some
animals. Bible verses here.
I did it. This is really strange for somebody to do it before. I went to the Bible, and I was trying to figure it out. And I figured, okay, let's go back.
Oh, wait, we should talk about, no.
It's real, okay.
Do you want to address that question, what is wrong with killing animals?
Sure. I do not at this point, and I really do struggle with this, say that there is absolutely wrong to kill an animal. As I said, I eat meat. I couldn't make that kind of statement. I struggle with that. I do believe that we may, you know, well, I don't want to say that because then you really think I'm off the wall and nobody will listen to anything else I'm saying. So,
I think dogs go to heaven. Is that what you were going
to say? I don't. What I'm trying to say is, I'm really, again, I'll restate what I've said. In the simple, general, abstract question of, is it always wrong to kill an animal? No, I will not say that it is. What I'm trying to say is that I'm very disturbed by a culture that promotes killing an animal as a sport. That is very different from other motivations from killing that animal. When the animal is killed for sport, and whether or not the main part of the enjoyment is the stalking or whatever, a major part of the sport is still, in the end, killing the animal, And I do believe that a lot of, I mean, I know of a lot of hunters that will get into a whole thing about the trophies. I mean, to me, to have the head of an animal as a trophy is, I mean, what does that say? What does that say about our sport and enjoyment? And that's what I'm trying to address, is that it's not, again, the overall question of killing an animal. It's killing the animal for enjoyment.
You're the one that's calling it a sport, one of us is.
I don't think...
We're wrong in the beginning right there. I don't consider...
Well, wouldn't most of you hunters describe yourselves as sportsmen? That's the name of magazines and...
He said it was a sport.
Do you fish?
I don't think he called it a
No, I've fished once since I've been here.
Do you look at fishing in a different connotation than you do hunting? I mean, that is a serious question.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to push on.
I have to admit that in an emotional way, it doesn't affect me the same way. I'm not quite sure, but I think that the result is in some ways. I have fished when I'm out. I do a lot of hiking and climbing. I've fished when I'm out and I would eat the fish while I'm there. But again, I fished once in the last 10 years.
You don't feel the same way about that, as you?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think essentially I would probably tend to make the same kind of argument. But somehow or another, there's a little different kind of act going on. I'm not quite sure what.
One you can pet and one you can't.
Okay, it does sound like many of you are hunters. Are there others who have questions about hunting that would like to raise some of those?
That gets me worried because it uses people, but with animals, with anything, to use that violence as a sport, I think it has no place. I think that is a perverse kind of thing. I feel that anything that is designed to kill is a violent weapon. It's designed to destroy. And I think that anything like that cannot be constructive. Whether it is, a pastime or whatever, it's designed to destroy. These are kind of some thoughts. I'm not sure if they're all coming together, but along that whole line, fishing seems different than hunting because it's not as violent. It's not blowing something up. What really gets me about hunting, though, is the impact or that kind of
it's mental thought. Have you ever seen a fish struggling with me after it's been on the water?
Yeah.
Okay, we've only got a couple minutes left here. Why don't we let Tom and Vera each close with what they want to say, and then we'll end.
Let's hear his final word.
I'd like to make one comment.
All right, we got a couple more people. Okay.
I was reading a series of articles here in a magazine that we had here last winter, and I guess one of the things of hunting is it does involve nature, is man versus nature, and for people to be out there in nature and to overcome the elements. One of the problems I have with hunting today is that there's not much of a struggle between nature, because people, they drive from the city and they get in their vehicles and they drive to the mountain road. And I saw people come up here last winter or last season and they take their vehicles up the hill and they take high-powered rifles, which there's really no chance for the animal. It used to be a struggle where a man had to physically be able to go out and to go for miles and miles and chase his animal down, and to maybe even physically have to kill him with his hands. But now, I think that's been taken away by high technology and the use of high-powered rifles, where the animals really have no chances when they encounter a situation like that with someone who has a rifle with a lot of power like that. I don't think the natural struggle is taken away from it a lot. And that's kind of a question for me, is where's the fairness for the animals if it is a sport?
I'd like to comment on that. You're talking about the new technology. Take the 45 caliber, the 40 caliber black ball. It's powerful enough, it's legal to hunt with. It'll knock a deer dead pretty quick. Taking the same, brass cartridge with a, say, 30-06, you shoot the same deer, you're hitting him with 2 tons of impact. He don't know what hit him. So, you know, so are you killing him or are you wounding him?
Okay, we're going to have to end. Tom has some Bible verses that people are clamoring to hear here, and then we'll let Barry have the last word.
Well, actually, it's not a bad way to close. It was interesting.
I do biblical work at the end of this.
Well, hey, I didn't know where you were coming from, so I figured it's going to come.
I'm impressed that you've got your Bible passages here.
Yeah, this is really neat. I first of all went to the creation story, and I wanted to see if God ever said, the thing about dominion, multiplying, having dominion over the animals, I wanted to find out if that meant, just what it meant. So I went back to that. And I was surprised a little because God didn't say at the very beginning, go ahead and kill the animals, they're for you. Genesis 1:29-30, God said, see, I give you all the seed-bearing plants that are upon the whole earth and all the trees with the seed-bearing fruit. This shall be your food. To all wild beasts, all birds of heaven, and all living reptiles on the earth, I give all the foliage of the plants for food. So in other words, back then they were all fruitarians. Check it out. Okay? So in the Garden of Eden, okay, this is out of the Jerusalem Bible, you can get there. Anyway, in the Garden of Eden, they didn't eat animals.
I didn't know it. That's a good
Okay, animal. Well, that's the first half. They didn't eat animals, they ate fruit. And the animals didn't eat each other. The animals all were grazing, even the wild beasts, okay? So I thought, well, that's really weird. Maybe we're not supposed to hunt. But there's a little note down at the bottom, and it said, check out Genesis 9 after the flood.
Yeah, there are two creation stories.
Okay, well, both. I didn't find any difference. I checked both of them out. Okay, anyway, Genesis 9, after Noah and his family disembarked from the ark and all the animals were walking off, God had a new covenant there, and it said to Noah and his family, be the terror and the dread of all the wild beasts and of all the birds of heaven, of everything that crawls on the ground, and of all the fish of the sea. They are handed over to you. Every living and crawling thing shall provide food for you, no less than the foliage of the plants. I give you everything.
No less.
Of course, that's after the fall.
That's after the fall, man. That's in the flood. And the note at the bottom says, in the beginning of humankind was blessed and consecrated Lord of creation. Humankind is now blessed and consecrated anew, but the rule is tranquil no longer. In this new age, humankind will be at war with the beasts and each other. The peace of paradise will not return until the kingdom of God comes again.
Okay, do you want to say anything more?
Well, this perversion of killing, as Barry put it, or whatever, it's. I guess if you look at it in this light, you could say, well, it's just the way it is.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, use some Bible verses.
What I was going to do was to point out that there are two creation stories, and you already very honestly said that, which is good. And in fact, one does essentially not. We could get into all sorts of biblical stuff here. I mean, I don't. There are two real different. There are two stories that essentially repeat themselves in the creation, and so I mean I don't want to get into a whole thing of discussing the authority of lifting out one or two sentences out of the Bible. And believe me, I could talk your ear off on that, but not that I would say
For
anything,
sure.
But I could still talk about it. I think I would say in the passage that you read, it said for food. And that's what I would essentially come back to, is, I guess to close, I really do feel like that the issue here, again, I would not oppose if it was in certain circumstances absolutely necessary and could convince me that it was for the good of a herd to cut the herd in a particular area to go out and do that. But then the motivation of that would be, it would be a necessary evil to do it, to do that. It would be seen as something that we have to do because it's the best thing to do. It would not be because we're going to enjoy going out and shooting all the deer. And the end, again, for me is we don't have to hunt. And that's basically, I think Tom is right. We do not have to in most cases. And I've, as I already said, I think there may be some cases in which I can see it justified. But I really do think that we have to be concerned about the effect that it has on us in the long run, both ourselves individually as well as culturally, and what that does mean in terms of especially men, where that puts our sensitivities and our sensibilities and our priorities. I think that's.
I would like to say.
Okay.
One
more quick thing. Nope. Sorry. Not formally. We're going to end.
Because they will all disease and die.
But sir, let me respond. Because see, every time that I have said.
All right. Let's
this,
end formally first, and then you guys can finish. Okay? Because it is well past 9:30 here, and we do try to end after an hour. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Barry and Tom, and you're free to continue.